your finger.
And you'd be slamming my coffee and do it at the same time, simultaneously.
It's so rude.
It is the rudest thing, dude. It would send me up the wall. Oh, my God. So irritating. Oh.
So, here we are. At last, at last. And, my fucking haircut, dude.
It's blurry. I can't really see much but the shape of your head and your headphones. It's blurring you, so I can't really see anything. But this like is your cans. This which is I mean your it, headphones, dude. Not your tits, for those of y'all who don't know.
My cans!
See your cans.
This is, yeah, here we go. Now it's not blurred. This
Ooh,
is it.
Cute, brother.
I went short again.
Good
baby.
For you. Yeah. I like it. I like
summertime.
It.
Summertime.
Summertime.
It's summertime and the living is hard. Okay. You know, I'm going to go ahead and say this up front. I love my topic for today. It is, however, pretty short. Too much so, but we'll get there when we get there.
That's okay. I really love my topic too. And I don't think that it's, good. I feel like it's average length for me. We get a little bit, it's kind of an antique. So like I pad it out a little bit because I love antiques and history, but huge witchy association with this one. This time. So I'm very excited to talk about it. And I was inspired by our last Airbnb visit. That we went
on. No. Oh God. Okay, I can't wait. Yeah. Mine is the opposite of that because we love to do that. We either match exactly or we like go hand in hand. Mine is a baby on the scene. Not an antique, an absolute bait. Well, sort of. It's an ancient thing, but you'll see what I mean. And there's not a whole lot of witchy correspondence. Like a lot of it was either people just making shit up, which technically, I guess that's all witchy correspondence, or me being like, you know what? I think this. I would use this for this. You know. So, what are you talking about?
All right. So here's the thing. When we stayed at our Airbnb recently, you and me, and we got all the prints signed, and we burned our brains into a bunch of husks by hours and hours and hours of reality TV roulette until we settled on Love is Blind for way too long. And so...
Much too long.
And so...
It was uncomfy.
Uncomfy? And in this Airbnb, shockingly, they gave us the option to light candles. And we could light candles, which was, I wouldn't do if it was my Airbnb. I wouldn't encourage that behavior.
I wouldn't let people.
Period.
You know why? Because people will leave them burning all night like we did.
I blew them out.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I woke up the next morning. My first thought was, oh no. And I went and it was significantly lower.
Them out. We just lit them immediately when we got there and stayed up till 2 a.m. Yeah. And those are like those, so you know, like those cheap Walmart $3 candles, dude, you can essentially watch the wax on those just get lower and lower. I used to burn those all the time and it amazed, it kind of freaked me out. It was like, what is that? Am I breathing it? And where's it going? Cause it's just like,
It is
sucking down,
evaporating.
But
immediately into your lungs.
Behind those candles were the little bell-shaped candle extinguisher, and which I would call a candle snuffer. Now, here's the thing with that. There's differences in candle snuffers and extinguishers, and we're going to talk about it today because when I Googled candle snuffer, I got a weird scissory-looking contraption. And I was like, what the hell is that? So we're kind of running.
You can't say scissoring on this podcast.
I can and will, and we definitely have. And it caught my attention. And I wanted to talk about it today. So I'm kind of running the gamut of candle extinguishing tools today, antique ones, before the creation of the self-consuming wick that made it so a lot of these tools. Granted, the snuffers or the extinguishers still have a place, but the scissor type tool initially is a very dated tool for the times. And it's all very, very interesting. And candles used to be hella fucking gross.
When I think of candle snuffers, and that's also what I call them. That's immediately what I think is the little bell
Yes.
that you put over the flame and it sucks it up and sends it off to fucking Flametown or whatever.
Yes, Flametown.
Wherever flames go when they die.
Flametown.
I don't know any other thing.
That's okay. That is okay.
A flame snuffer.
Because the initial contraption we're going to be talking about, the candle snuffer, is not anything that I've ever seen before. It's a very strange looking item. And it's fucking weird. And all of it sounds like a nuisance that I'm glad we don't have to do, frankly, anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Pain in the ass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything 100 plus years ago was just worse.
Oh, so much worse. I'm going to paint a scene. I'm going to paint everyone of Birmingham today of what we're looking at with old school candles. And it's fucking nasty, dude. It's just gross. So that's that. That's my bag.
Paint Birmingham's.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where
it's my favorite.
I am today. I got a quick question for you, because, and we don't have to go into it that long because everybody's talking about it and everybody's got their own story. Yeah. How much percentage did you get of the eclipse where you were?
I think it was something like 99.
Yeah, I figured were still pretty on the nose. Like, still. Yeah.
Basically enough to be, I mean, I you know, some nerd out there is going to correct me, you know, or say it wasn't. But, like, I'd say we were still in totality.
Did you see the corona?
I didn't have glasses, so I didn't look. I people watched this time. I looked at the shadows, you know, when you look at the shadows. And
did you see the shadow snakes?
Like, make a circle.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, I didn't see shadow snakes.
I didn't see shadow snakes either. And we were in 100% totality, and I didn't see. But apparently it just depends on very specific atmospheric conditions for that. And I saw no shadow snakes.
I kind of fucked up because I didn't look directly at the ground when it was happening. I didn't have the glasses, so I didn't look up. But I was looking. I was watching everybody else experience it, which was also really
Because you've seen one before.
And just the atmosphere, just everything going dark all of a sudden, and it feeling kind of strange. Now, there was a moment that I was just like, yeah, it's dark. It's like, but it. I don't know if this would catch me off guard. You know, like, it seems like it would just be like if it was a rainy day outside.
It got,
you know, if you woke up one day and you'd be like, oh, wow.
It got
but
super
immediately
dark.
After I thought that, I did open my front door to get a package and I out loud gasped. So
it was super dark and it was bizarre because like it would darken in multiple shades like in a second. So it would hold for a while and then be like dark. And then, like, bum, 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 get darker again, like, really quick. And you would see it, like, shook, shook, drop in these big chunks. And it was so fucking strange. And I really thought I was going to fly off of this planet. It was so insane, dude.
How it felt.
Crazy. I'm so glad I made that chicken. I'm so glad that I crocheted that fucking blue chicken.
That's right.
And I held it the whole time, dude. That little thing was my lifeline. Like, it... was such a grounding presence, and I didn't expect to be affected like that, and I crashed the rest of the day. Like, I couldn't even pick my head up.
That was the thing. Afterwards, even though I didn't, I would say, fully participate this time, like, I was there, but I wasn't, you know, I still had it out of me. I had it out of me for the rest of the day. It was so... Between, like, everybody else's energy watching it and just the build-up, there's something to be said just for the build-up and then, like, the now it's over. It's kind of that Christmas feeling after Christmas comes and goes, and it's like, well, what now? Just between all of those things, I feel like I sat down and I watched, I don't even remember, it wasn't anything good. It was some horror flick. Oh, it was The Gift. The Gift with Jason Bateman.
Excellent. Wow. Yeah. Great.
It's the second time I've seen that.
Fantastic. Wow. I feel like my mom really likes that movie. I'm pretty sure that's like one that I remember being in the rotation for
really?
A second.
Really? I could see.
Yeah.
I could probably see it because I know the joints your mom likes. Let me say this. I wonder if we might need to ask permission. I don't know. We'll see. We should make that photo that Roger took, just the album art. For this episode.
Oh, he'll be down with it as long as we credit him. Because that's the thing. And you know, Roger. So like the moment we took it, he was like, you're going to have to tell everybody I took that. And I'm like, I'm aware. I will. Yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah. All credit. All credit goes to Roger.
It's amazing.
That was a
great shot.
An amazing
on a cell
photo.
Phone. I don't know how he took that on his cell phone.
That's the thing. Everybody's pictures, while great, I've been loving seeing all the photos. It is just sort of like big sky, tiny sun. Mm-hmm. And his is just like,
whrr. I don't know how he did that. I don't know how he did it.
I have no idea.
True nerd. No, true nerd magic.
I think he put a little magnifying glass on the camera and snuck
a monocle.
Picture.
He put a monocle. Yeah.
That's what he did.
Caught the sun.
He took a glass from the kitchen and he stuck it over the camera. And that's the trick.
I don't know. But he will love putting that as the album art. Big time.
Good.
Yeah.
I hope so, because I think we should. Before we go any further, I think we should dedicate this episode, the post-solar eclipse episode, goes to our patron, Kelly S.
Kelly S, won't you come and wash away the rain? Is it rain or pain? I can't remember. Kelly
wash away S, the sun.
Won't you come? Won't you come? That's my timely one. Yeah, yeah.
That's aggressive.
I know. I didn't think about it until I had to finish it. And then I was like, well, there it is, well, Kelly S.
I mean, you know what?
Won't you? Listen.
Won't you? Won't you?
Won't
anyway,
you?
Ew.
Ew.
Gross.
I'm way too fresh out of Cushiel's chosen notes to be hearing anything that right now. It's just...
Won't you? okay, so let's see. I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about now, because I just didn't say anything. I'm talking about... Now, this comes from a request from the one and the only Kimothy... And I didn't even realize it was Kimothy. I have like a running page of things I see that like when we get requests, I'm like, oh, okay, that'd be it. And I keep it. And I just kind of picked at random this time because I was like, yeah, I'm not inspired to talk about anything in particular. But this ended up being great. Comes from Kimothy talking about Uperlight. Now, I'm so sorry if I'm offending anyone in the uppers up there, but it's UP. We'll get into the naming, but I believe it's Uperlight. And not Uperlight. Uperlight's got to be
right. I like
that
Uperlight anyway. Better just because it sounds silly. Uperlight.
And it is. And there's a lot of AKAs. But, like, there's also a trademark name.
I love it when there's a trademark. That was, like, that other one that we covered that I can't remember the name of that was, like, a whole trademarked name.
All right, listen here. I go first today. And like I said, this is a shorty boy. I'm just going to give you the facts. This is more of an interesting story than anything. And before we get started, also, now that you are here listening, I want to talk about our giveaway we have coming up. We have a 300 episode giveaway coming up. We have already accrued a couple
absolutely.
You guys out there have reached
some
out.
Some of y'all have reached out with some goods now. So we're going to, you know what I'm thinking, bro? Just to step on your toes, because I'm excited. I think we do a few groupings.
Do some bundles.
I think we do some bundles because I
do
we're getting
three bundles for 300.
Three bundles for 300. Holy shit! Yes. I love it. I didn't even think about it, but I love it. Yes, that's what
all right.
We
three
do.
Bundles for 300.
Three bundles for 300.
Yeah, yeah. And cool. Each bundle will have a little gifty gift. Now, we are still, however, looking if you make a witchy product or you offer a service, reach out to us at WBH Podcast if you're interested in, what's the word I'm looking for that sounds nicer than give this for free? Sponsoring?
Well, it's a co-promotion in a sense.
Sure.
I think we do put a cutoff pretty soon on that because then we'll start posting on what we've got in the giveaway and highlighting everybody who's...
Yes.
Pledged some.
I don't
want to
say what we have yet officially.
I don't either. Not yet.
But dude, I will say, I would want this.
Yes.
We'll also have rules for you how to enter stuff like that. You know the deal. It's a giveaway. You've seen them before.
Yes,
I'm going to talk to you about. This is Sting. You've seen it before. I'm going to talk to you about Uperlight. Release him, or I'll cut your throat. Cut your throat.
I'm not threatened.
Frodo, I'm not scared of you.
I've never been scared of
Listen
you.
Here,
I could never be scared
Do
of
it
you.
Then.
I
Do
I'm
it then.
Just, yeah, fucking right now, brother. Right here.
Come
Draw
on,
the line.
Ed.
Come on.
Give it to me. Okay. Uprolite. Listen, so the technical, what uprolite technically is it's cinerite with fluorescent sodalite inclusions.
I'm going to look it up.
That's like the long name. Have you, are you going to Google
it? I'm
going
to look it up.
Don't say anything about it. Just show me with your face. This will be a present for our patrons watching. Show me what you're, with your face, what you feel about this.
How do you spell it again?
Y-O-O.
Oh, that's stupid.
Y-O-O. It's, dude, we'll get to it.
That's Y-O, so
you're going to offend
dumb.
a whole grouping of people.
Oh, I remember Y-O-O-P-E. This. Kim has sent me this before. Just like
Macy, show me with your face.
I don't know how you want me to show you with my face.
You know, go like.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I can't because I know what this is. So I just didn't realize it had a dumb name.
Yeah. But okay, on the name. So it's technically cinite with fluorescent sodalite inclusions. However, we have some AKAs. Obviously, uprolite. Glodite.
I like that better.
Which I like. Emberlite, which is tits.
Also better.
Flamestone.
Tight as hell.
The Stone of Truth.
That one's a little dick swingy for me, but I'll allow it.
The Stone of Truth. Like how we have two very different forms of dick swinging.
I went
pendulum.
I can only imagine that's the required motion.
Dude, the way if I had the appendage, I would helicopter all the time at everyone.
I've tried it before. I put a suction cup one on a plate before and tried it, right? It was very difficult. Yeah. I couldn't get it to work.
Was that a pure romance party?
It was a sex toy party, and I stuck one under the plate, and it's actually very difficult to like get,
I can imagine,
get the motion down to make it swing.
As we saw on Naked Attraction. You gotta put your whole...
You gotta really give it, and there's different ways. Yeah. There's not one way, different set ways. Way to do it.
There's strange ways. Okay, listen here. The name... the name that it has been given within the trade of, like, you could call them rock hounds, okay, rock enthusiasts, is uprolite. Okay. And it is given that name because of its discovery and the place that it comes from. More on that later. So... it is officially cinite, a type of granite or granitoid, and it is not particularly common. Other than the area that we're going to get into, this can be found in some parts of Russia, Australia, Europe, and Africa, and mostly in North America. It can be found in Canada, and this part that it kind of migrated into. It was up in Canada, and because of, you know, tectile plates and
tectonic
whatever,
plates.
Right. Tectile plates, you know, science. these rocks formed basically when what is now North America smashed together. And it created, like, through the processes of things like pressure, cooling lava, the mixing of minerals, we get this stone in mostly the Canada area, and then glaciers run through, cut through, and they moved it to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. So, within the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, there's an abbreviation, UP. UP, Upper Peninsula.
Okay,
get it?
Sure.
People apparently up there call themselves Upers. Now, I've never heard this, so I'm sorry, you guys up there, if I'm saying this dumbly. But they're called Upers. And the dude that found it, Eric Rinamaki, found it in 2007. Making it, what, 7 years old? It's a 6-7-year-old baby at this point. Is my math right? In 2007, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12?
As compared to when?
What?
Seven. So was it... wait, how is it a 7-year-old? Wait, what?
Okay, it was founded by rockhound Eric Rintamaki, I believe, in 2017.
Okay. Oh, 17.
So even though.
Okay.
17.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So even though. Did I say 2007?
You might have. And so I was like, so where was the start? Was it 2000 that it was? But I think you might. Okay. 2017. It's just a bebe.
So it's just a baby in its like recognized form. However, the stone is billions and billions.
Right.
So super old, created down deep in the earth and, you know, works its way up. You know how rocks work.
I, you know, real quick, just to interject, anyway, I don't understand glaciers. The fact that they can just
either
steamroll just fucking through anything and car, yeah. I like it. They confuse me.
I guess they're just so powerful.
They're just steamrollers. I think they must be the most powerful fucking thing on earth because it's just like, you got shit in the way. Glaciers will handle it. It's just insane to me. Yeah. But then you don't see it move. Are they moving?
No.
I don't understand.
They are old gods.
They are.
They are definitely giants here on Earth. They are old gods in the form of elements. And he's just taking his time, just sliding right through.
The ice giants.
To him, it's pretty fast. Fast as fuck, boy. But to us, in our short little baby lifetimes, we're like, what? Anyway, this stone will glow under an ultraviolet light. That's what I'm getting to.
It looks cool.
It is assigned to Sagittarius, the sign of Sagittarius.
I believe
the element of fire. Yeah, something about it, and even though, like, the more we get into it, the fact that it's, like, rare across the world, and then it's, like, only, it's, like, known for being in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and it's a real big deal, but it, like, came from a big ice monster pushing it into that area, and then just, like, the way it glows, and it has 17 million different patterns, this is very Sagittarius.
Well, immediately where my brain went is that if you put it under certain conditions, it just shines, and that just, to me, screams Sagittarius.
Yeah, it can either look crusty or
just
super shiny.
Gleaming with magic.
Yeah, it's either angry or the best thing you've ever seen. The sign associated with it is fire. Although I did see some people say water. However, that does feel like because the majority of the rocks is found waterside. So take that for what you will. I'm kind of on the side more of fire because it is associated with Sagittarius, which is a fire sign. And you're going to want to cleanse this rock about every 2 to 4 weeks. So
why?
Here's the history. I was a spiritual cleanse.
Okay.
Just like,
okay.
Yeah. Not, give it a good bath.
What are you doing to that rock?
Gill scrub scrub. You know, if you don't, it just, the glowing turns into like uranium and it burns your hands.
Gross.
Eric Rintamaki in 2017 found this. Self-described rock hound, super into the hobby. How this happened, and this is like something I would dream about when I was younger. I'd be like, you know, when you have that fantasy of like discovering something and getting to name it, and being like, oh, what if I found something that doesn't exist? This dude's living out the fantasy because he's just a normal dude. He is an enthusiast in the hobby of going out and finding rocks, but he, not from what I could see, was he any kind of like rock science nerd or anything like that. Right. So he's just beachcombing, normal beachcombing, and his favorite thing to go out and to pick up around, what is it? Oh gosh. Sorry, the Upper Peninsula. Hold on. What is the fucking, okay, Lake Superior. Thank you. Out there on Lake Superior, it evaporated from my brain. He'd like to go out on Lake Superior, the beaches, comb around, and look for agates. Those were his favorite stones. And because of the hobby of beach combing and rock hounds flocking to this area, known to like have good agates and other good pretty stones, they became kind of, they got picked over, get picked clean, these people coming out, picking these rocks off the beach. And he's like, oh, how do I get my edge back? Well, he does some research, and some agates glow under a UV light. So he buys a UV light, and he's like, this is going to give me the edge, right? Mm. And one fateful night, now, I can't tell you that this was like a drunken beachcombing moment, but it sounds like it, because at 4 a.m., he was on the beach on his hands and knees.
That's the night. I'm going to find it tonight, goddammit.
I'm like, you either just got there or you've been there for hours.
Yes.
Either there's no in between. So he's on his hands and knees with his little light just combing, and he stumbles across this orange glow, which is unlike anything. Because normally when we see fluorescent, we see like a green. We do see orange, actually, but it's different. You saw it. How would you it's more like a fire.
It looks like lava. Fucking son of a bitch. You know when Sauron, like all the magma's yes. in the cracks, and yes. he starts to, and it all.
Yes. Oh, hell yeah.
That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah.
It's what it looks like to me. Yeah. It's like magma, lava, fire, like all of that in like pockets and crevasses.
What people describe it as, the stone itself, when under this UV light, looks like an uncooled chunk of lava.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super cool. And he immediately, it says that he screamed with delight.
I would.
Which I would too.
I would absolutely either 100%. Scream with delight or immediately think it's like that thing in that episode of Creepshow that made Stephen King get all hairy. I would also be a little bothered about that because that was a meteor and it ruined his life.
Yeah.
So I'd be a little dicey with what to do. I might wear gloves. I don't know.
That's the, okay. See, that is the thing. Yeah, I would totally. But he was just like, hell yeah, glowing rock, picks it up, right? And he looks into it and he cannot find what this rock is. Like everything he Googles about it leads him to like certain types of agate or other types of fluorescent rocks. And after a long time looking into it and showing it to other people, he's like coming up empty. And he's like, did I do a thing? Did I discover this rock?
Maybe so.
And he ends up sending out samples to universities and to, you know, rock science nerds anyway. And they write him back and they're like, you did a thing. You discovered this. We've never. What is this? What have you done? So he gets to name it, and he names it Uperlite in reverence to the area that it's found in of the upper. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
So I get the UP thing. That's actually kind of cute. But do Uper spell it instead of is it spelled Y-O-O-P-R or is it U-P-E-R? Because I just feel like just spell it U-P-E-R and. That's where I'm getting confused. Where did the Y come from? And why the double O's?
I don't know. I assume it's a regional thing, you know, like maybe they just, maybe it just came out, you know, and there's somebody spelled it that way. Yeah. And it's like, oh, that's cute.
That's cute. Yeah.
I couldn't tell you. Somebody from the area.
Tell us.
A self-proclaimed Uper.
Yeah.
Please tell us.
Educate us. I'm curious to know about this because it also makes me think of Loopers, which is pretty sweet though. So, you know.
Is that movie where the teenagers fly through time?
You have your Looper. Yes, it is. I'm just going to... Any movie that's described as the teenagers flying through, I'm just going to answer yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, great. Now I'm confused, though, because is it actually...
The teenagers fly through time. Listen, I watched the movie once, like when I was in high school, but nothing about, I don't remember the big teenagers, but maybe they were, brother. Maybe they were. They could have been.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Anyone who's like 25 or younger is a teenager to me. So.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So they write him back. They write Eric, who spells his name, by the way. I have a very particular set of thoughts about Eric, how you spell Eric. I think when you spell Eric, E-R-I-K, it's super cool and Viking. And that's how this guy spells. It's Eric.
Okay.
And it just feels like Eric.
All right.
I don't know. Love it.
Okay.
E-R-I-C.
And this is who? The guy who found the rock on the beach?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He found the rock on the beach on his hands and knees.
On his hands and knees.
And they write him back and they say, hey, you found this. You get to name it. He names it. And he trademarks it. So Uperlite is its trademarked name. Now, it seems that he did this because it seems like a business decision, right? Like, on one hand, perhaps he is paying homage to the area that he found it, but there's also, like, Uperlite.com, and that's a store. It's a storefront where he sells his particular, like, rock hunting kits. He sells his particular like UV lights because not all UV lights apparently are equal, you know. And he's got information, and it just seems like it's half business, but this dude is really into it. He goes to rock shows and talks about it.
It's not cheap to trademark something, so he had to shell out a good amount of cash to fucking trademark.
And this is his baby. He's very proud of it. If you look into Uperlite, you're going to find this dude. He's cool. Right. He's got this big fuck off beard. You know, he looks like a cool dude. So over time, him and all the other people, because he starts educating people about this and starts going on these tours or these conventions and stuff where he'll talk about it and starts putting out information, blogs and pictures and shit. So everybody starts getting interested. So people start going and hunting for Uperlites on the beach, and it's become its own little sect of rock hunting. There's like your specific Uperlite hunters, and they go out with their UV lights and they find them. And over time, we have seen several patterns emerge. And when I say patterns, you're looking at the rock and the actual glow bits, the parts that are lighting up under the UV light, form a pattern. Now, I saw a video where a gentleman who is very into these stones, and he's like trying to figure, he seems to be making this almost like life's work kind of thing, because he has like several, it's not Eric, but it's another dude. He has like several thousand specimens. He is trying to figure out if like certain patterns come from certain parts of like different height varieties. That's cool. And like why some of the patterns, and he's just a chill dude. He's a chill dude. He looks like, he's like in his, what do you call those, waders? You know, so he can, like, get down into the beach.
Oh,
he's, like, in his waders and almost like a, I don't want to say it's like a straw hat, but it was like one of those straw hats. And he looks almost like prospectory, and I loved him immediately. I loved him. And he's just one of those people that you can tell he's really into this. And he's made up a little chart, and I want to talk about some of these patterns that emerge. And I have questions about the names.
Okay.
So the first one is the most common one, and this is called the soda flake. And soda light. Yeah, it is in several of these. There's soda crush, which is your typical, it's dotted. It's dotted like a Dalmatian is dotted, or like some of the agates are dotted. You know the look. Mm-hmm. Then there's soda pepper, which is still dotted. It's just more densely packed, tinier dots.
Sure.
Like freckles.
Yeah.
Then there's the soda flake, which is dotted, but not by dots. It's more like, it looks like salt flakes. You know, they're not round dots. They're ragged and usually bigger spots. Mm-hmm. Then there's the one called Zodiac, which is my personal favorite. And that includes flakes and dots as well as lines of this stuff through it. So it looks very like, you know, when you look at the sky charts and it's like, here's Sagittarius, here's Cancer, you know. Then there is Cosmic Soda, which looks like galaxy print.
Awesome.
Then there's Heavy Soda.
Okay.
And that's where it's almost all covered.
Makes sense.
Like a very intense gallery, like a very packed galaxy looking. And then there's one called Psychedelic, which to me looks lava lampish, but apparently it's any combination of the three previously mentioned types. So if it's Soda Crush, Soda Pepper, and Zodiac, then it's psychedelic.
Wow.
People go to this day, and I would love to hear from you if you're somebody who have gone on this, if you've gone. I watched videos of people doing this. They go along the shores of Lake Superior is the predominant place to do this. I watched videos, and I watched videos of people who didn't even, they weren't even into the hobby. They were like, they're getting a story. They were like reporters, or they're talking to someone who's very into it, and they take them on a little excursion. But even then, when you're not into it, they get so into it. And I'm like, dude, this would be my whole personality. This would be my whole personality. The way
it seems
would
fun.
Go to the beach, and I'm sitting here watching a video. I feel like a loser because they're shining their lights. And when they see like a glowing orb, which again just looks like molten lava. It's fucking sick. I myself on this side of the screen went, "Oh my god!" You know, I'm screaming when they're finding it. So yeah.
It's like treasure.
If you're in the area, you know, look into the special UV lights. I could not and did not find what makes them different. It seems like it might be as easy as like a cheap UV light isn't going to do the trick. It needs to be kind of like a larger, I don't want to say like a magma light or anything, but just like a heavier duty UV to kind of reflect back to this. Let's talk about the magic, of which there is not a lot, because again, this is baby.
Yes, no.
This is baby stone, at least in having a name and yeah, being used and known and stuff. So it carries, first of all, the properties of sodalite, because there's so much sodalite in the rock. So we have things like logic, balance, perception. What else did sodalite do? I wrote intuition, stuff like that. Sodalite was an Aquarius stone, if I'm...
I don't remember. I just remember that it was Lapis's poor cousin.
The blue jean denim cousin?
Yeah.
What was it?
I don't remember. Yeah.
I don't remember. Now, I did see things online where people have come up with their own magical interpretations of the use for, I almost called it yodelite. Sorry, huperlite. And we have things like anxiety, reducing anxiety, increasing stress. No, reducing stress.
It puts you in a paradox.
And it... reducing stress and increasing focus is what I'm trying to say. But I kind of came up with some of my own, because the more I went into this, the more I just had like, okay, this is going to sound nerdy. It wasn't even so much me being like, what could I might use it for this. It was just almost like it cropped up in my head. So I'm going to say that this was almost whispered into my ear. So who knows who whispered it? Maybe it's guide who just, they're coming up with their own ideas. But I felt like this was shown to me. Shut up. Mystery. Okay. Anytime we are needing to be mysterious, or we're working with things that are mysterious, like the moon or the element of water, the moon tarot card, you know, shit like that. Also, I think that the stone helps to encourage exploration of self. You know, any kind of exploration, perhaps exploration of knowledge on something, exploration of your own mind and your own heart, because you've got to search for this little sumbitch. Okay, I think it also can be a light in the darkness. I saw several people saying that this was a good stone for depression. And immediately I was like, yeah, light in the dark. Like, that's, mm-hmm, you know, you've got to find it. But when you do, it's like this thing you want to hold on to. I also think that this could have its place in new discovery spells. Maybe you're trying to do some digging. Now, I don't want to say you're doing digging on a person. Don't do that. That's bad. But, like, maybe you need to do some digging, okay? So maybe you just have this with you, and it's your little discovery stone. You know, in the Jason Bateman movie, The Gift,
okay,
someone hires a PI detective on somebody, and that's
expensive.
This little stone can be your PI, and you can help you out with that, and be a little PI detective,
okay,
and keep it in your pocket, and go around with it, and can help, and be your little guy. And lastly, this stone, to me, reeks of hiding in plain sight. Reeks of flying under the radar, which is a useful skill that we have talked about several times.
Yeah.
Needing to be hidden when you can't be, when you must be perceived.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I have to be here. I have to do this thing, but I just want to get through it.
Yeah.
And I think you could probably take that and work that, either carry it in jewelry. There's awesome jewelry of this stone. As you can imagine, it's like just kind of like a regular stone looking, but if you're going to like a party where there's going to be black light, if you're going to some kind of like glow party,
like,
or anything like that, dude, the way I would put this stone on, I saw a massive like alien head, and it looks just like a gray, because
yeah,
they where the eyes are, they put I think it was like reactive agate or something. It was green. It was like bright green. They carved the eyes out and they stuck that in. But the rest of the alien looked gray, like the grays.
Mm-hmm.
So it was cool to just sort of wear in the daytime. But then when you hit it with that UV light, it's the green eyes glow, and then like the whole alien head turns into lava.
That's pretty sweet.
It was fucking tight. I'm thinking about getting it. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I could see this, because like I was kind of, when I was thinking on this, after you've been describing it and the properties of it, I was thinking kind of more in that hiding in plain sight way, but I also feel like it could work on the opposite of that, to where like it can give you the ability and backing to shine at precisely the right moment that you need to.
Yeah. Yeah, in the right in the way right conditions. To stand out.
Yeah, at the yeah, right
in the moment. Like, I either want to fly under, yeah. you know, don't be perceived, or in this moment, in this instance, when I got to stand up and give my, I don't know, work presentation or whatever, when all eyes are on me and the time is right, I'm going to fucking turn, I'm going to shoot into lava.
Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. yeah, yeah. Just burn yeah. everyone to death.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's all I want to do.
Yeah. yeah. Go full Terminator anyway. 2 on the entire room. And then you win, I guess. I don't know what you do after that. Go run and hide as a fugitive. I don't know. Those are my nightmares. Those are the nightmares I have. Because then I have to realize that I've committed a crime and live with trying to hide for the rest of my life. It's great for me.
I had a nightmare. I wouldn't even say it was a true nightmare, but I had a dream that did worry me greatly last night. And it was actually this morning. And I had to pee. And do you ever have the I need to pee dreams where your body needs to pee? So in the dream, you're like looking for a bathroom or... You know, so I'm having those. And they're the typical, like, ooh, I gotta find. But then all of a sudden, we're at Anahata's Purpose, which we're gonna be this
it's
year.
It's on the
so
brain. Yeah.
Check it out. I was at Anahata's Purpose, and I, you know, the cabins that we stay in, or the place that we,
yeah,
the hall that we stay in, the windows that look out, not necessarily the side y'all stay on, but the side that I stayed on last year. Mm-hmm. It's like on a hill, right? I don't know if I'm describing this correctly.
I know where
you can look out and you can see up onto the hill. Right? Yeah. So I'm on the hill and I'm needing to pee and I'm looking around and I think I'm hidden by this building, which is the building that we stay in. So I run up and I don't know why I run up to the window. But I ran up and I dropped trout. And I'm about to start going, and I look up, and you and Corey B, the Corey B, are looking at me like you're horrified.
I can just see it's just.
Yeah, it's just like, can you not see us here?
The thought of you laser-esque running right up to the window to piss in our faces through a pane of glass is the most incredible
thing.
It's
on brand.
It's unreal. Oh my God. I love brains. They're so stupid.
Oh man.
They're so fucking dumb.
I don't know why. Oh. And I think Corey B was there because I was lamenting the night before, like before I went to sleep, I was thinking about that time my titty fell out in front of him and I was just cringing myself to sleep.
Nightmares.
So my brain nightmares. I hate that you remember that.
I'll never forget it.
That's super light. Goodbye.
Oh my God, that's awesome. Okay.
Nightmares.
I can so see it because having traveled with you as much as I have and shared a room with you, you sleep. Your gateway from sleep to waking is a meandering path, and I can so see that sentence coming out of you. Or is it nightmares? I can see it. Oh my word! Okay,
I apologize to anyone who's had to share a room with me.
Oh, it's not bad. It's fine. Oh, all right. Okay. Let's talk about candle snuffers. Are you ready? So
I'm so ready.
All right.
Now, I am going to Google candle snuffers.
Look up candle snuffers, and you're going to immediately see the scissors, because immediately I saw the scissors, and I was like, what? And there's a whole bunch of these different shapes and sizes of scissors, because we know people back in the day love to embellish shit and make everything fancy. So there's all different kinds. So
when we say scissors, these are the little wick trimmers.
They're
come in, like the little kits.
But they look up. These are real old school looking things, and so they look like scissors.
Oh,
but they've got
I see it. Oh, they're
a box
like
up at
handheld
the top.
Scissors.
There's like a weird compartment up at the top. Yeah.
This whole time when you said scissors, I was like, I think that's just a wick trimmer. No,
there's something else. And they're strange because they've got little pegs on them and they sit up. Like, so they don't just lay on the ground or like on the table. They're up on pegs and they like sit up kind of like this, and they have their own specific purpose.
Why was everything so, I mean, I love it, but why was it so ornate?
Everything.
Why did it
everything's so fancy. And so these really kind of put me on a historical trip today, because I did not expect to come across these scissor type contraptions that were called candle snuffers, when I thought candle snuffers were just initially the bell shaped things. And I was like, what the fuck are these scissors? So we're going on a little ride today, as well as a bit of candle history and how innovation Ooh. Has so greatly helped us in our candle living that we have nowadays. So to get started,
excuse me,
let's talk about the term snuffer, candle snuffer, because again, to
murderer,
many of that,
like you snuff someone out.
You hear snuffer though, and you think of the flame putter outer. You think you put the flame out, right? Like you're snuffing it out. You put the flame out. That's what you do. You snuff
a
candle.
I hear snuffer, and I think of like films that I was scared to stumble across when I was a kid.
I was too scared to cross across. I was never I was never brave enough or like internally stout enough to watch any of the like. You know, like, our generation was big on, like, Rotten.com.
Yes. Stuff.
I never had that in me. I never watched any of them.
The moment I heard about, what was the one that's Faces of Death? I was like, I can never watch another movie because I'm scared of what I'm going to see.
Mm-hmm. It's scary stuff.
We were anxious children.
Oh, absolutely. And, seriously, we kind of grew up in the wild west of the internet. Literally, you could come across anything at any fucking time. That doesn't need to be forgotten. You could be trying to look up the most innocent thing, and the most heinous pop-up you've ever seen could come up in your face.
Oh, I have fully seen horrific things that I did not go and search for.
No, and they just showed up in front of your eyes.
As a child on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was crazy out there. And so... No,
millennials will remember.
Y'all know. And so initially, we're not talking about putting the candle out when we're talking about a candle snuffer. Because wicks were different back then, guys. Candles have changed. And before the development of the self-trimming wick, the self-consuming wick that curls and kind of burns and falls off and trims itself, you had to do a shit pile of work. Back in the day, you had to trim...
To keep a candle going.
Oh my God, you had to keep that sumbitch trimmed all the time. And the snuff needed to be trimmed. Because the black charred wick could be highly fucking flammable. And it didn't really fall off. And so it would just keep getting taller and still keep burning and get more and more dangerous. Depending. Sometimes we'll talk about the different ways that candles kind of burn depending. But the wicks were a problem the way that they were. So you had to trim them all the time. Like all the time. And if you didn't, it could get really out of control. Your shit could catch on fire or it's just a whole big fucking problem. Or it's not putting as much light out. Because we had to remember, there's no electricity. If you needed light, you needed lanterns or you needed candles. And if your candles hadn't been trimmed in a while, the light can just be, like, terrible. And we're going to talk about, like, how much worse later on, how quickly. It's very, like, it's very depressing.
These days, like, a candle is a luxury,
it's,
for most people.
It's generally a treat unless your power's gone out. Then you're like, oh, let me light all the candles, you know? But, like, generally it's ambiance.
You don't, like, if your cupcake-scented candle goes out, it's like...
It's going to be fine.
Oh, well.
And so, but back then, candles were a bit more important, I guess, as a light source. And in the 16th or 17th centuries, now I saw this date kind of float around a bit when it comes to the scissor type, the candle snuffers.
I'm uncomfortable when you do that.
And the scissors. That seems to be kind of when they emerged, 16th or 17th century. To where, generally, a lot of times you're trying to trim this wick, but you're not trying to extinguish the candle. You want the candle to keep burning, but you want to trim the snuff off, which was the burnt shit that needs to go. So this contraption was created, right? And so enter this candle snuffer. And no, not the bell-shaped ones, the scissor-shaped ones, ornate as fuck, most of them, not all of them. Some of them are a bit more plain, but a lot of the antique ones that you find are very fancy, very special looking. And it seems that these were invented by one Christopher Pinchbeck, and he patented it.
One more time?
Pinchbeck. And he patented them in 1776 in England. And I get a little bit confused by this because I saw some people saying that these dated earlier to like the 15th century, which I think would be before his lifetime. But it's the one that I saw the most was that Christopher Pinchbeck invented these and patented it in 1776 in England. So that's what we're going with. And he could patent them because these are not a normal pair of scissors. These are not your standard issue scissors. Because located on the blades, which aren't really shaped necessarily like scissor blades, they're a bit different, there's either a box or a bowl. And it's sitting up at the top of the scissors. And instead of cutting vertically with the blades, you turn them sideways. So you're turning everything sideways and trimming, and the bowl or the box is up at the top, resting at the top of the two blades. And it looks a little odd. And there were very, very many variations on this design, of course, because like many household tools, craftsmanship was really prevalent. There's just everything, like even, and I it was of course the case a lot of the times in more upper crust homes, but I saw an example the other day of an old school, like an old house, like from like 1800s, 1900s. And they showed how, and we're not talking, so they opened up a door and it was like the inside, but it wasn't the front or like anywhere of the handle. It was like where the doors latch. So, you know, where like the thing sticks out that catches, that brass plate was decorated. Fucking why? You don't see it. It goes against, you know, but it's like everything. And so you see that with these. And
I'm torn because, like, on one hand, why? But on the other hand, please.
Please, because, like, I'm so sick and tired of the fucking white, sterile bullshit that is popular right now. I'm so over it.
The sad beige.
Oh, my God. The fucking magnolia, white shit. It just bums me out. Everything looks so clinical. But no, like, give me maximalism again, please. On that note,
ornately carve the screws.
Put it everywhere.
That go into the door.
Just everywhere. And these were also worn on chatelaines. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but those were those sick ass fucking keychains that the women would wear on their skirts that had like all sorts of tools and shit on it. One of them oftentimes would be these candle snuffers. And there was also an element.
Handy.
Dude, I'm so into those, man. You're going to walk around sounding like a fucking girl wearing a mum at homecoming here in the South. But, like, it sounds so cool to wear
such
one of those.
Such a specific
Bling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. It's so loud.
Oh,
God. Ooh. And so there was skill required here because you wanted to get good enough to trim that wick without putting that candle out now. And if you could do it, you were lit. You were good at it, I guess. And so generally made of pewter, silver, brass. I don't know if they were made out of gold. I'm sure some rich fuck somewhere got off with having a gold candle snuffer somewhere. Somebody did it. But they were
some lady would like throw her hip around, throw her little mum hip so you could see her.
Yeah, and like
golden
she'd flash her
snuffer.
Little gold candle snuffer and be like,
yeah,
look at this.
Just
shit.
Kind of twirl it, like, shall I trim some candles? Yeah.
I would. And so they also bronze. So a lot of different metals depending on your budget, right? And this was a time when candles were made oftentimes, especially if you were poor, they were made out of what you could get. And what you could generally make them yourself out of a lot of the times. Like, you're making these candles, right? And a lot of them were made of fat. They were tallow candles. They were just candles made of rendered fat that you dipped in it and let it solidify. And you dipped in it again and you let it solidify. And you dipped it and dipped it and dipped it until you had a nice, thick, fat candle. And this was not, unfortunately, you couldn't order like those nice, pleasant melt and pour beads that smell like rose or geranium and some shit. No, no. And generally, this was like your sheep fat from the sheep that you killed not that long ago. And you've boiled all of your sheep fat in a big old pot.
I'm obsessed.
And you're making these candles
with tallow
out of it.
Cakes.
I
and watching people render fat into tallow cakes.
Rendering is such a cool process. Like, I do like the process of rendering.
Dude,
it's pretty cool.
I would love to do it.
I
salt, water, and some fat, and then you're telling me I can make some whipped tallow? You kidding
some
me?
Whipped tallow, brother.
Let's go.
And but the problem is when you're burning tallow candles all the time, it gets fucking nasty. It gets really gross. Because tallow candles, like all candles, do release a soot and a residue. That's just the process of them burning.
You get greasy?
Oh, brother.
You get fat walls?
You will get fat walls. You'll get a greasy residue on everything. But not just that. Tallow candles, apparently had a bit of a stink. They had like a meaty, stinky stink that wasn't known to be pleasant. And it's just, I mean, it wasn't great. And so they also weren't the best light producers either. So they're just gross and they're not ideal, but they were what a lot of people had and it's what a lot of people had to use. So they produced the most.
They still have tallow candles?
I don't know. Probably.
Is that something that like farm girls will still make?
I mean, if you're, if you need a use to put the fat get somewhere, like maybe like
$16 on Etsy.
But yeah, you pay way too much. But they're fucking gross, apparently. And they produced the most snuff out of the candles that were available at the time. So they're the sootiest, the most like burn gross type kinds. Cute. Our snuffer scissors, because you really need them with these guys a lot. Because apparently, if you wanted your candle to remain bright, somebody did the math on this. This was mathed and this was studied. If you wanted to keep your candle burning bright, which was generally the whole goddamn point of burning a candle, you needed to trim those tallow candles all the time. All the time. Because it was found that the light, so say you trim one and you get maximum light again. So you freshly trimmed it and it's gleaming. In the span of like 26 minutes or 27 minutes, the light had decreased by over 80%. That's how often you had to trim those fuckers, dude. No. Isn't that awful?
No. We're living in darkness.
Oh my gosh. No. And so like you had to do that.
What is your life like? You have to already put so much effort into everything else that now you have to stop milking your cows or whatever the fuck you're doing to go trip. No.
I think maybe you just
put windows in my house.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, people did things at night, but I do get the sentiment. But
right.
But it sucks, right? That fucking blows. Not to mention you need to do it not just for the brightness because it's a higher burn risk. Your walls are covered in fucking grease. And it's just not ideal, right? So, not to mention. Hold on. So not only
Does
are they...
Does your skin get greasy?
I don't know. I mean, I assume everybody's skin like was greasy because they were also covered in lice and fleas and shit. So, I mean, like, the greasy
maybe
walls
made a barrier.
Yeah, were probably the least of their concerns. And so not only are they dim, not only are they sooty, they did slowly turn your house into a waiting grease fire. So that's just a little bit of history on the tallow candles and why you needed to trim those wicks all the time, because you didn't want, you know, them igniting something else. You didn't want them burning too dim. They were smoking a whole fucking lot all at the same time. You got to take care of them. So now, candle snuffer scissors obviously still aren't around. Well, it's kind of because they got phased out and were no longer needed. So let's roll into the mid-1800s here, where the industrial age is a-boomin'. And candles are a focus of this. Mass production of candles, for one. And candle production machines are created at this time that can produce a whole bunch of candles in an assembly type line way. And they're using this new novel invention, which is the braided wick, the same kind of braided wick that we see today. And this braided wick curls and kind of consumes itself, so you don't got to trim it all the damn time, which is a revelation, which is great. And naturally, over time, as these new, better candles permeated the market and prices made it so that they could get into homes of more lower class people and not just the elites, you don't really need those scissors very much anymore, because my guess is people were fucking ready to get rid of those things. You mean I don't got to trim these asshole candles anymore? Please. I will throw the snuffer away in a heartbeat. Immediately.
That seems like something that if they could step into modern times, they would be like, why are you... Like, I just found one for sale, an antique one for 70-something bucks. We'd be like, why?
Yeah.
Why is that? It seems like if we stepped forward a couple hundred years and they were romanticizing, like, doing your dishes by hand. Except we already have dishwashers.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I get what you're saying, though. They'd be like, we hated these things. Why would you ever want this? And so Okay, then what about this? What about, or was it, we get that they kind of get phased out over time. Well, what about the sticks with the little bell on it that you drop down and you put the flame out? The things that Cuties. I recognize at the Airbnb. What about those things? Well, the weird thing about these is I can't find dick shit about them. And I don't know why. I don't know who invented them. I don't know where they came from. I don't know whose idea it was. I looked and looked and looked. And I even found myself in a few antique forums of other people saying, y'all, I found a whole bunch of information on candle snuffers, like in the scissor form. But what the fuck is the story on these? Nobody knows. I don't understand this. I don't know where they came from, but they just seem to exist in the consciousness and people have them and know that you use them. But
fascinating.
I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. So
how, what?
There's gotta be an answer, but I don't know why it's buried. Wow. I don't know why it's buried to the point to where I looked for over an hour and couldn't find anything, dude.
It's a secret.
It's strange.
What are they hiding?
And so these are generally...
What is big candle snuffer hiding? Sorry.
What do they have? And so these are generally called candle extinguishers, if we're going to be, I guess, proper. Or candle doubters, D-O-U-T-E-R-S, candle doubters. So the putter outers. And, or in modern terms, and kind of, you know, like, as we just call them, snuffers. We know generally, oh, it's candle snuffer. But weirdly enough... Don't know really the story on them, where they came from. Don't understand. However, it does seem they took off more after the self-consuming wick. And they are still used today, generally in ceremonial places. You see them in churches often, especially since they have a whole bunch of candles lit. And they are also used today in many practices. If you follow the belief in your spell work that you do not blow a candle out after or during your workings and that you instead snuff it out, you might have a candle.
How do you feel about that?
You might have a candle extinguisher yourself. I talk about that a bit today. I generally snuff them out just because I do feel that it feels ceremonial, but I also don't believe it's a deal breaker and it's not going to ruin your magic if you blow out your spells. I think it's all about what you believe.
I'll pinch them.
Yeah.
I'll give them the old link it, lick and punch.
I've always been too scared to do that, but I've got a 2-inch Labradorite sphere that's just like, and I'll just,
that's right.
I lower it on that. I saw Jordan Moon do that at the retreat when we did a candle spell, and I watched her just roll it around the plate to put her candles out that had burned low, and I was like, holy shit. And I just, and it's great because if any wax gets on it, you just, it's always cold. The stone's cold.
Yeah.
It just chips right off.
Yeah.
And I'm so into it. And I love just lowering a big globe of rock onto it and just and picking it back up. It's one of my favorite things. So there's uses for these, right? Especially in, so if you think about the churches that have like, you know, the tiers of candles all lit to where people can come in and light a candle. You don't want to blow Catholics. All of those out because it's going to blow wax.
Well, that's rude.
All over your shit, you know, and you might be trying to blow your candle out, but you blow a bunch of other people's candles out. So it's, you know, it's just good to have the extinguisher for that.
Now, all of those people won't win the lottery because you put their wish out.
Blew out their dreams. So it's just good practice, you know, if in case what you don't, you're not tipping anything over. No wax is splattering on altar cloths. You're just putting them out from above. And along with this, in the 19th century, in the industrial age, there was this fancy creation of the automatic candle extinguisher. And these are pretty cool. I have one of these and I've used them before. And it's a little gadget. It's the one that slips over the candle. And sometimes it's got two little trap doors. Sometimes it's just got one trap door. And so it's hug it on your candle. And as your candle burns down past the area that's holding the trap door open, it pops over your wick. Cuts off the flame. It's super cool. I'm into it.
Is it the the little beeswax spiral one that you like?
So yeah, that one's got the little one that will put it out. And then they have some that just slip over whatever kind of candle. They got to be the same width, of course. But you know, they've got some that are taper width and you can just put it over a taper and it will pop your taper.
I got to get my mom some.
They're
of
so cool.
She's paranoid about candles. Oh, she'd love it.
They work too. They're really effective. I have one of those spiral ones that you can run the wick up and put it through and it clips off. And I also have a loose one that you can slide over a taper and it clips off and they totally work. It's really cool. So that was another contraption that came out because also, so like, and I don't know if this is like an exact, you know, necessarily like an A to B reason, but I think of the industrial age and how many people were shacked up in like all of these buildings living together in like these boarding houses, all pop. Dude, you know, they all burned candles at night. You know, those buildings were all constructed like fucking dog shit. Like, yes, invent ways to blow out people's candles at night, please.
Yeah.
Like, it just seems like such a good idea to make sure that that's taken care of.
Seems like such a awful mix.
Oh, it just, God.
It just creates a tinderbox.
Absolutely. And yeah. So ideally, though, back in the day, you didn't want to leave candles going. Like, obviously, we still don't want to leave candles going. It's not a good thing to leave a candle going because it could wreck your shit. If the glass gets hot, it could blow up. And then you got flaming hot wax all over the place. Like, don't fuck with fire and don't leave candles unattended, generally. So along with this, like, I just feel like these tools kind of go to show us how not only how important candles were, but the tools that were required for dealing with them. Because, like, candles weren't necessarily always a choice. And yes, you could have an oil lantern. Some people did. Oftentimes people did. But a lot of people burn these candles everywhere. And you got to take care of these candles. And so you can see the reasoning for the tools. And not to mention, candles used to be stinkier, smokier, all the way around, required a lot
greasier.
More care. And another reason for snuffing is that it can help preserve the wick as well, apparently. I don't really know how, but apparently it makes them relight better. I don't know if that's the case, but when you snuff it, apparently they're happier about being relit versus blown out. I don't know. But in your own practice, it's really up to you. I'm not here to tell anybody what they want to do. I blow out household candles. I do, like I mentioned earlier, usually blow out spell candles. I allow myself to be a little superstitious there, but I don't really think that it's truly a make or break thing. I don't. And, you know, just oftentimes I do candle spells using big, thick 7-day candles, and it takes multiple days. And so, like, I'll get up, I'll relight it, and it will burn as I'm around and able to handle it and deal with it. And then as night falls or as I, you know, need it, I'll snuff it out and I'll relight it later. And I just like that better. But I've blown that out a couple of times without thinking, and I didn't think that everything was going to be ruined. You know, I just think a lot of it is belief there. But I get it. There's a lot of reasoning behind it. Some people say, you know, maybe it's kind of like you're blowing the magic away, kind of like, you know, that you might be blowing it away from the candle. I totally get that. There's some belief that your breath, your life force, shouldn't be used to snuff anything out during a magical working, which was a perspective I'd never thought about before, which I thought was pretty interesting. And I saw conflicting opinions on this. I went to Reddit for this because I was curious to see what witches thought about this. And there was thread after thread after thread of the opinions of snuffing versus blowing out candles. And it was actually a pretty open-minded mix, which was neat. Like, it was some people saying they do, some people saying they don't, but the general vibe was kind of like, you do what you want to do. But some interesting opinions were that, you know, some people said that elementally, it seems weird to, like, pit one element against another using air to extinguish fire. But then the other argument was like, well, but when you snuff it out, you're depriving fire of air. So, like, you're still kind of fucking with elements. So really, you know, you can land on it where you want to. You know, the way I see snuffing, for me personally, I see it in candle magic as like putting the hood over the bird of prey. You know, like, it's just going to go dormant there for a little while. And then when I relight it, it's taking that hood off the raptor,
right? For a second, I was like, I don't follow.
Like, you know, like when they put the cute little leather falcon heads on? Like, that's kind of what so when I, like, lower my crystal down and snuff it out, that's kind of like what I see it doing. That's why I like to do it. It's because it's kind of like, all right, we're going dormant here. This is going to be kind of suspended until I come back to it.
It's like when people put, like, a chip clip on the back of a kitten's neck, you know, and they just kind of do that thing.
Who fucking puts a chip clip on a kitten's neck?
Okay, pause. I've been watching too many cat videos. Okay, time out.
That seems awful.
There's the it's like a scruffing instinct.
No, I know.
I think they grow out of
but
it.
But you still don't need to put a chip clip on the fucking skin. That's fucking terrible.
Or like a hair clip or something. It's a gentle.
I don't know about it.
Ooh. Okay. All right.
So, anyway, there is an undeniable ceremonial aspect of snuffing a candle, extinguishing a candle, to me, anyway. Mm. And I think that these elements of ceremony lend to the ritual and formality of it. It is, you know, for me, snuffing a candle is what sets it apart from a household candle. That's how I know it's a magic candle. And I like those little extra layers of ceremony, right? And tools also bring that vibe. Tools bring a vibe of ceremony. We love our magical tools that we have, you know, amongst us.
Yes.
And we can use these tools on a $2 7-day candle. That's fine. Like, I've got to love 7-day candles. I love them so much. And
I will never forget the 13-day candle or the, like,
I want to get one of those so much. Those Hearth Wisdom big chonker that you got.
The Hearth Wisdom ones?
Yeah.
I got that chonker, and then I left it in my car when I was moving, and it melted.
Big melt. Yeah.
I will never forgive myself.
That's so sad. That's a loss right there. And so, I mean, it's really, it's whatever candle, you can use them on a little, you could snuff out a cheapy little tea light candle if you need to. If you think that you got time, but you didn't have time, you can stuff. So it's like, I like that the tools bring the ceremony to whatever it is that we are using. And I think even the simplest of candles can be a very magical candle, but it's what we make of it. And the tools are the same thing. It can be very simple tools, but it's what we make of our tools, right? And so, you basically, that's kind of where we're getting to the end of it here. I kind of like the idea of whether you like to extinguish a candle or blow it out. I just want to hammer across that I think it's fine to do so because fire safety comes first. And if you paint yourself in a corner of being worried that you cannot disrupt a candle spell by pausing it, I just feel like that can put you in a tight spot of being like, oh, maybe I could leave. It's probably going to be okay. Fucking put it out. If you're leaving to go anywhere, put it out.
Spirit understands.
Spirit understands. Your guides, whoever you're working with, does not want you to burn your shit down. Just put it out. It's fine.
Yeah.
It is okay.
If it helps, think of the absolute disrespectful act it would be to burn your house down. I feel like no deity, no spirit, nothing is going to respect that. So, for me, that's what would help. Yeah. I'd be like, okay, I have to put this out, because if I don't, my house will burn, and you're going to get real mad at that.
I just feel like, generally, they also, if I'm working with anyone, too, that wants to burn my house down, I'm going to rethink that. Like,
I'm going to feel a little sussed out.
I get you. Although, might think it's a test. And I'm sure that it is a great, great test, like great in the sense of a capital G. But like, I don't really want to be tested like that. So I'd rather just blow out my fucking candles, please. Yeah. Or snuff them out, whatever you want to do. But I did just want to end on that. I know how it feels to get into your head and really worry about things and work yourself up, especially if you're kind of doubting your own magic and what you can do. And is this going to fuck it up? And then you start getting worried about it. And then you get on fucking witch talk. And then that's a whole fucking wrong thing to do because you're going to get scared to death. So just trust yourself.
I didn't do 7 days. I didn't do multiple day spells for a very long time because I couldn't get over the candle extinguishment.
Mm-hmm.
Like I, for a very long time, just, ooh, you little fly, come here.
Get him, okay. Get him, get him.
Sorry.
Bang, got him. I get it. And so I like the questioning of those things. And there's, of course, different traditions that go into that, and some traditions really adhere to it. But that is up to you and how you feel that your magic works. But no, it's okay to snuff that candle.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
It's okay. It's okay to snuff out that fly if it annoys you too. Sorry if that seemed rude.
That is all I have.
Dude, I'm so happy because I have seen these little scissors before and not had any kind of clue. Honestly, I've seen these at thrift stores before. And my first thought was that it was like a pill holder, like the little box.
And then a cutter is like when you do like.
Yeah, I don't. Pills. Yeah, I get. Yeah, they did fancy things with their drugs back then. I mean, that's true.
Yeah,
they really did.
Wow. I didn't know either. I feel like I learned with this topic, which is always cool. I do want to get a bell extinguisher just because I think those are really neat. Even though I don't, I would probably just use it for household candles because I'm really dedicated to my Labradorite sphere as my magical extinguisher.
I was sitting here thinking, I was like, what do I have that I can start doing that
Dude,
with?
It's great.
I need to find some kind of quartz.
It's wonderful. And it doesn't, I don't know, it just seems, I can't explain it. It just seems like the flame just is okay with it. Like the crystal is kind of a calm way to put it out, and it'll just kind of wrap around the stone and then just poof out. And it goes away.
So does it force the wick into
the wax? I don't
push
it that hard. I kind of just like gently press it up against it and roll
just
up above.
Enough to cut the
and it cuts the oxygen just quick enough to just snip it out. And it just snuffs out.
Be careful, though, because some stones are not going to be, like, fire safe.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to
This one's pretty
inhale.
Indestructible.
Yeah.
But, yeah, don't do that with your fucking, I don't know, malachite or whatever one
malachite?
Is going
to
burn
kill
you.
The first one that came to my mind. Yeah. Yeah. I'd stick to the quartz family.
Yeah, stick to the quartz
they,
family.
They seem pretty safe.
They're hard.
Then again, they're hard.
They're hard.
They're hardened.
Hard. Ever
now
so
we'll
hard.
Get 14 letters.
Yeah, we are. We're going to get.
So hard.
They'll tell us which ones will kill
Ram
everyone.
Ranch. Okay.
I am done. And we've got a live here soon. So we've got a skedaddle here.
We actually, yeah, we do. We have a live in like 30 minutes. So we'll wrap up here and we'll reconvene. By the time you guys hear this episode, the live will be over. Sorry.
Done.
But we are every Wednesday doing a live for our patrons, so check it out. That is at the $5 level and up every Wednesday of this month. There's two more to go, so you can catch it. Speaking of, we have some cap tomorrow.
Oh God,
more Cushiels. So
fucking hold on. Put one hand on each of your butt cheeks and hold on, because get ready.
Have we announced the that we did in fact have winners for the?
We did. We had the print raffle winners. Congrats to Jess and Caitlin. You have been emailed. Yes. One print has been claimed and hasn't been sent off yet, but it's being sent off very soon. I have it selected for you, and I'm very stoked about it. And we will be doing that again, guys. So if you didn't win,
yes, thank you for entering.
Keep coming back.
There will be more chances.
There will be more chances. Yes. Yeah, because that was super fun, and I love doing this. I love giving you guys, and I understand, you know, like I got a little nosy, you know, and I kind of looked into some of the people who bought the tickets because I had to put the list together, right, of names to do the drawing.
Right. Yeah.
And I understand you guys because a lot of y'all have like all but one or two. So I want this for you guys. So we're going to keep doing this again. And know that that's coming. But anyway, that's all I've got to say about
that. That's that.
Yeah.
We'll leave you here. We'll see you next week for more of the Witch Pajamature Hour, the podcast about witchcraft.
I thought you were going to just stop at the podcast. Just the podcast.
WBA, the podcast. Goodbye.
Bye.